Amen. I started preaching on this Wednesday morning, and we did it Wednesday night. And I had no idea that we was going to do it again this morning. But that's what it looks like. The book of John, the 20th chapter and the 19th verse. You guys been waiting on that verse, huh? Amen. I have discovered that God has the ability, I mean the supernatural ability, to minister to you regardless of the circumstance or the situation that you are in. I have been learning that whether you are in a pit or you are on the mountaintop, God can still minister to you. He can minister to you in your hurt. He can talk to you in your pain. He can minister to you in your sickness. Whatever it is that you're going through today, God has the uncanny ability to move right on into the center of it and do a work. Say, well, how does he do that? Because you put yourself in a position where he can. It's easy. We could have said, you know, I'm not going out there today. I'm not going to church today. Had a hard day, trying. Only God knows what you had to deal with before you got here. A lot of you, only God knows what you had to deal with before you even got out of the house. And then you talking about coming to church. The word of God says, then the same day at evening, being the first day of the week, when the doors were shut, where the disciples were assembled for fear of the Jews, came Jesus and stood. Somebody say stood. Say came Jesus. And say stood again. In the midst and saith unto them, peace be unto you. And when he had said, he showed unto them his hands and his side. Then were the disciples glad when they saw the Lord. Then said Jesus unto them, peace be unto you, as my Father has sent me, even so I send you. And when he had said this, he breathed on them and said unto them, receive ye the Holy Ghost. Amen. God can't breathe on you, unfortunately, unless you are where he needs you to be in order for him to do his breathing. A lot of times that position or that place isn't a place that you want to be in. It's not a trial that you want to be going through. It's not a circumstance that you want to be surrounded by. But you're there. Boy, are you there. And there's no way out. There's no way around it. There's no way up under it. There's no way over it. All you can do is stand there and pray and hope that God strengthens you while you're going through it so you can keep doing and keep living. Amen. Here they are assembled. Some of the most powerful men of God. They've been with Jesus. He's raised the dead. He's calmed the raging seas. He's walked on water. He's opened up blinded eyes. He's cast demons out of men. He's done the unspeakable. He's done so many miracles in the eyes of mankind. These men were with him, but yet they're hiding for fear of someone that can only take their lives and not their soul. The word of God said, only be fearful of that person, that thing that could steal your soul, not your life. But here they are sitting behind closed walls. They are here. But see, unfortunately, it looks like they're out of the will of God. But they're not. You say, well, how can they possibly be hiding and in fear and still be in the will of God? Because God, the will of God for your life is for your life. It could be in anything. It could be any circumstance. It could be any trial. I mean, folks walking around all pious and supernatural and haughty like they got this thing cornered. Here these mighty men of God done ducked in this room and are hiding for fear of the Jews. They done assembled themselves and are fearing the Jews. But look at what happened. Jesus saw that they were suffering from fear, but he showed up anyway. And the good thing about it is he stood right in the center of their fear. He got right down in the middle of what they were going through and told them, "Peace be unto you." What is God saying? Whatever it is you're going through today, your trial, he says, "Peace be unto you." Your circumstance, peace be unto you. Your hurt, peace be unto you. Your fiery trial, peace be unto you. Your sickness, let peace be unto you. Who is peace? Jesus is that peace. When Jesus showed up, it said he stood right in the midst of them. Whether you realize it or not, in the center of the garden was the tree of life. Right in the midst, right in the center of the garden. Don't you know that you are God's garden and he wants to stand right in the center, right in the midst of whatever it is that you're going through so that he could give you the ability to bring yourself out. Y'all don't hear me this morning. It's easy. We can sit back, Sister Julian. We can feel sorry for ourselves. Oh, why me? Why am I going through that? I do it all the time. Lord God, why am I going through this? Why am I dealing with this? Why is my mind tormented? Why is my heart broken? Why is my spirit shook? Why is my flesh trembling? Why am I going through these different things and sit back and feel sorry because I felt like I've done so much for God and I shouldn't be going through. I've been faithful to God and I shouldn't be hurt. I've been faithful to God and I shouldn't be in pain. But you're in pain because that's where God wants you at. You're hurting because that's where God wants you at so that he can meet you at the point of your need. They were hiding. In the midst of them, he stood and he said, "Peace be unto you." But hear me this morning. Don't wait. Come on now. Don't you dare wait till you get to a point where you got to feel God in order to know that God is there. Don't get to a point where you got to hear him in order to know that he's moving for you. Don't you get to a point where you got to see it. You got to be a Missourian in order to see it so that you'll know that God has worked it out for you already. Here we have the disciples. They already are hiding in fear, but they're still, don't get me wrong, they are still in the will of God. They are under the desire of God. If they weren't, Jesus wouldn't have showed up. And when he had said, he showed unto them his hands. Here are my hands. These are the works that I used. These hands I used to work the miracles that I worked. Then he said, "Here, this is my side. Look at my side where I bled, where they pierced my side," representing they tried to not only destroy the works of my father, but they tried to destroy the church by piercing me in my side. You say, "Well, how is that possible?" Because God put Eve to sleep and took a rib out of her. Why? Because God put a seed down in her that would represent the church from Genesis to this very point. And they pierced his side because they wanted, it was a type shadow of destroying the church. He said, "Look at my side. Touch my side. Put your hand up in there and see that I'm still Jesus." They tried to destroy the works, but they couldn't. They tried to destroy the church, but they can't destroy the church. Why? Because you are the church. Because he said they can't destroy you, because at your lowest moment, I'll meet you there. At your most terrible time, I'll meet you there. At your greatest hurt, I'll meet you there. At your hardest pain, I will meet you there. At your greatest degradation, I will meet you there. In your hardest discouragement, I will be there for you. Oh, Lord, have mercy, Jesus. Oh, he showed unto them his hands and his side. Then they got happy. They rejoice. Well, glory, here's Jesus. It's the real one. His hands have been pierced. His side has been pierced. It's the real Jesus. Let me tell you something, saints. Sometimes you're not going to see the nail-scarred hands. There are going to be times you're not going to see the piercing in the side. But you're going to have to believe God for yourself. There ain't going to be nobody around to prophesy to you that God is great. There ain't going to be nobody around to lay hands on you to tell you that you're healed. There ain't going to be nobody around to tell you how great you are in God. You're going to have to know who you are and what you are and what you can do in God. Brother Tony. They didn't want to recognize him until he showed them his hands. And he showed them his side. Then they wanted to rejoice because Jesus was there, not knowing that Jesus was there all the time. That's why he said, "Peace be unto you." And as Jesus stood there, and they looked at his hands, and they looked at his side, and they rejoiced. Then he said, Jesus unto them, "Peace be unto you, as my Father has sent me, even so I send you." But see, that's the point. He can't send you until you first recognize the nail-scarred hands and the side that's been pierced and the feet that walk. You have to understand that this is all about your works. It's all about your church. It's all about your walk. The enemy wants to destroy your works. He wants to destroy your life, which is the church. And then he wants to destroy your walk, which is in God. And he'll use anybody. He'll use anything. He'll use any circumstance or any situation to pull you down, to make you think that your life is nothing, that you won't never amount to anything. But I got news for you. There's prestige in you. There's honor in you. They're favoring you because the favor is of God and not of man. Guess you can tell I'm a little excited this morning. And then he breathed on them. He said, "I send you." Then he breathed on them. With Jesus, there's peace in the storm. Remember, every storm there was, when Jesus showed up, the first thing he said was, "Peace be still." Why? Because it was a lesson he was teaching them. These words that I say, you can say also. I'm learning the hard way to calm the storms that are in my life by calling upon peace. Don't you know when you say "peace be still," God shows up because he is your peace? I have to hurt sometimes to understand that. Sometimes I have to be in pain to recognize what he's trying to do. Because other than that, I wouldn't see and I wouldn't perceive and I wouldn't understand that he's here all the time. We use scriptures and we quote them left and right. We quote that scripture, "God is an ever-present help in the time of trouble." But when trouble comes, we fall by the wayside. Because it's only just words flung out of our mouth. It's not the lifestyle that's in our spirits. If it wasn't so, he would not have said it. So here they are. Then he breathed on them and saith unto them, "Receive ye the Holy Ghost." Remember, they were hiding from the Jews for fear. They had fear. They were afraid, terrified of what the Jews were going to do for them, because they know that the Jews recognized them as being his disciples. And they were in fear. But guess what? They were right where Jesus wanted them. What were they doing? They were assembled together. The Bible says, "Forget not the assembling of yourself together in the house of God." Because on that day, that might be the very day that that which you've been praying and believing God for might manifest itself in your life. We have forgot all about assembling ourselves in the house of God. You have better start assembling yourself in the house of God so that you can be in the place that God wants you to be at. So whatever it is you're going through, the very power of God will move on your problem. He'll sit right in the center in the midst of what whatever it is you're going through. What I like about the word missed, it doesn't just mean in one center spot, but it talks about a spot in the center that flows out through the whole room. Teach me, Lord. The word peace is translated quietness and rest. Oh, my God, I found out, Brother Tim, that I can have quietness and rest even in my discouragement. Oh, my God. When you're lost and you feel like you're all alone, you can still have the peace of God. Amen. You know why? Because the word of God says, I'll be with you always. I will be with you always. So regardless of what you're going through, I'm with you. Regardless of how you're feeling or what your emotions are doing to you, I am with you. Regardless of the persecution or the affliction, I am with you. There's nothing worse these days than to hurt and not to understand how to deal with the hurt. But he said, peace be unto you because I'll be with you. That's encouraging to know that when I'm all alone, he's with me. When I'm brokenhearted, he's with me. When I'm discouraged to the point, Sister Red Wine, that I'm not sure whether I want to live or die, he's with me. When you get to so many trials and tribulations and things are all against you and all against you and anxiety is mounting in your spirit and it feels like something has broken your back, he is still with you. For he is our rest. He is our resting place. But unfortunately, there was one that was not there. Well, there was two. We know the one died, killed himself. But folks, we want to look at that like, Judas missed God. No, he didn't. Judas did exactly what the Bible said he was supposed to do. He was supposed to do what he did to Jesus, turn Jesus in. Now, as far as the part of him hanging himself, he did that on his own. Just like you do. You make a mistake, and then you want to hang yourself for it. Y'all don't hear me this morning. But God said, peace be unto you. And then there was the other guy. What's his name? Thomas. He's got a nickname. Doubting Thomas. But Thomas, one of the 12 called Didymus, was not with them when Jesus came. Also predestinated by God. What we fail to realize is that everything in our lives has been preordained. So you're telling me, Brother Gardner, that God preordained that I stumble? Yeah, you got up. God preordained that I had trouble? Yeah, you're still here. Because he understood that if you never went through anything, you would never pray. Somebody say, I pray all the time, whether I'm going through something or not. You don't pray the same, though. I guarantee you that. You don't pray the same. You pray them little honest prayers when you've got everything you need. But get in trouble. Be sick, and they done told you about to die of cancer. Then you go to prayer and you be dropping great, your sweat is great drops of blood. You pray so hard, even hell hear you. Because you want to be heard. Here's this. But Thomas, one of the 12 called Didymus, he was not there. And he did not, absolutely not believe. But there's a reason he didn't believe. Thomas, who called Didymus, the word Didymus is translated, listen to this. The word Didymus is not just translated in the Greek twin, but it's also translated in the Hebrew twin. His name is translated twin. You say, but he only one man. But see, what Jesus was taking this a little deeper, Jesus understood that it was two men in him. It was the man that wanted to serve God, and it was the man that didn't want to serve God. The man that wanted to serve God showed up late. The man that didn't want to serve God tried to keep him from getting there at all. That's why his name is called Didymus. Because God understood that he was going to do what he did. And they call him Doubting Thomas. But he wasn't the one that was doubting. It was that other joker in there that was doubting. See, when you look at the word twin, when I saw that, the first thing it did was, we've been teaching in the book of Genesis, took me straight back to the book of Genesis, where we're teaching, where it talks about Rebecca when she had the twins. As they battled on the inside, they were fighting for supremacy. One eventually stole the other's birthright. One was one nation and the other was another nation. Well, these twins that were in him, his name was, one was fighting for one nation and the other was fighting for the other nation. One was old nature and one was new nature. Didymus, who was hiding, and the other disciples therefore said unto him, we have seen the Lord. But he said unto them, except I see his hands, the print of his nails, and put my finger in the print of his nails and thrust my hand in his side, I will not believe. You said you saw Jesus. There's already something different about you because you now feel with the Holy Ghost. But there's something about flesh that will not acknowledge, will not accept, will not put itself in the place where the Spirit of God is. I will not believe. And then it says, after 8 days again, his disciples were within and Thomas with them. See, there's something going on here. Jesus was such a scholar. He was so prolific. He was so anointed. He was so, had so much wisdom and knowledge. It was incredible what he was doing. He showed up on the eighth day. Why the eighth day? What happens on the eighth day? That's what I said. But that's not what happened. On the eighth day is the cutting away of flesh. Abraham did what to Isaac on the eighth day? He circumcises. Jesus, God did what on the eighth day? His mother took him into the synagogue and they did what to him? They circumcised Jesus. So Jesus showed up on the eighth day because guess who needed to be circumcised? Doubting Thomas. The flesh had to be cut away so that he could have faith and confidence in God and believe that Jesus was Jesus, whether he touched his side, whether he touched his hands, whether he touched his feet. He could believe that Jesus is. He wants you to believe that he is who he says he is without you ever seeing him, without you ever touching him, without you ever feeling him, without you ever sensing him. He wants you to know that he is there for you, to help you, to encourage you, to strengthen you, to fortify you, to bring you up, to bring you out, to take you in, to heal you, deliver you, to set you free, to give you peace in your mind, to give you the rest that you need. After 8 days, again, his disciples were within and Thomas with them. Then came Jesus, the doors being shut. And again, Jesus stood in the midst of them. What is he saying? It's good to know that God is always faithful. Amen. Give God a hand clap for that. Because you can slip and slide and he's faithful. You can trip and dip and he's faithful. You can run and hide and he's faithful. You can have fear and he's still faithful. You can be going through and he's still faithful. You can say you're not going to serve it, but he's still faithful. Oh, Thomas. Jesus showed up and stood in the midst and said, "Peace be unto you." Then say he unto Thomas, "Reach hither thy finger and behold my hands, and reach hither thy hand and thrust it in my side, and be not faithless but believing." And Thomas answered him, "My Lord and my God." You better believe that Jesus is. All the hell you're going through right now, all the mess surrounding you, all the trial that's trying to tear you down, all the tribulations against you, all the persecution and affliction that's trying to weigh you down, you have better believe God right now. Don't wait till he shows up. Don't wait till you got to put your hand in his side. Don't wait till you got to touch his hands. Don't wait till you got to see him in his eyes. You got to believe that he is what he says he is. My God, I got so much hell in my life right now, I'd like to just lay down and just throw it all away and forget it all. But there's something on the inside that says your life is no longer your own, but it belongs to God. And only what you do for God is going to matter. Everything might be great in Cappadocia with you, but I got troubles. I ain't supposed to tell you that, huh? I want you to realize that you can be, still be in the will of God and have troubles. Brother Chet, I got physical troubles, but God is still faithful. So Teresa, I got financial troubles, but God is still faithful. My God, I got spiritual troubles, but God is still faithful. God don't change. We change. But the only way he can send us out is that we allow ourselves to go through what we're going through, recognizing that he is who he is. That he is an ever-present help in our trouble. That he is our savior. That he is our deliverer. That he is our way maker. We have to come to a place, regardless of what we're going through, to expect what we want to receive from God. Thomas all in now. I'm ready. He's ready to shout. I done touched his nail-scarred hands. I done put my hand in his side. My God. Not saying the moment he appeared in the center of the room without coming through the door, that would have been enough for me. Anybody ever notice it didn't say he came through the door? It said he just stood in the midst of the That means he just appeared right in the center of the room. My God. I'd have fell out from just that. I'd have said, oh, he got to be the God, because ain't nobody just poof appearing nowhere. He poof appears right in the center of the room, but I still got to touch his nail-scarred hands. I'm standing there talking to the other disciples, and bam, here's Jesus. But I got to put my hand in his side. Because I still don't believe. Let him go poof right here. Y'all can be supernatural if you want to. I'm going to make me a door. I want to see an angel. I want to see an angel. I got to thinking about that thing one day. And got to reading about how big they were. And all that stuff. I say, Father, that's all right. I changed my mind. Just send your spirit. Heard a couple testimonies how people saw angels and they like to have heart attacks. I said, that's all right. Just send your spirit. That'll do. Jesus go poof right in the center of the room and he still got to be convinced. God done healed you. You still need to be convinced. He done delivered you. You still need to be convinced. He done blessed you financially when you couldn't be blessed. Do you still need to be convinced? They said you were dying, but you're still here. Do you still need to be convinced? You were going through such trials, you didn't even know if you can make it the next day, but you're still here. Do you still need to be convinced? You had troubles in your bodies, but look at you still getting around. Do you still need to be convinced? What do you need for him to convince you? Do you need him to go poof in the center of your dilemma and you put your finger in his holes or what? I think I'm convinced. And Thomas answered and said unto him, my Lord, my God. My God. Let me close. Thomas answered and said unto him, my Lord, my God. Jesus said unto him, Thomas, because thou hast seen me, thou hast believed. Blessed are they that have not seen and yet have believed. After all that, Jesus still burned him. You needed to see me in order to believe. But those that don't never see me, they'll never see my nail-scarred hands. They'll never see the piercing in my feet. They'll never see the hole that's in my side. They'll never see how I've been whipped and beat and tore apart by the cat of nine tails. They'll never see none of that. But yet they believe. Those are the ones that shall have manifold blessings. Those are the ones shall have healings and deliverances. Those are the ones where the Spirit of the Lord is, there will be liberty in their life. Those are the ones that can ask what they will in my name, believe it, and I shall give it unto those. Those are the ones where no weapon formed against them shall prosper. Those are the ones where they shall be conquerors over a few things. Those are the ones who can do all things through me, who has strengthened and enabled those. Those are the ones who will stand up and proclaim that this is the day that the Lord has made, because I brought them through. They got troubles, but they learned to praise me anyway. They got situations, but they praise me anyway. They're hurting and in pain, but they're praising me anyway. They don't know where the next meal gonna come from, but they're praising me anyway. They need finances to take care of their bills, but they're gonna praise me anyway, because they realize they don't need to touch my hands. They don't have to see my feet. They don't have to touch my side to know that I am Jesus. Everybody stand. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. My God. Hallelujah. 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 You think you miss God? So what? He didn't miss you. Sitting back crying, Lord, I failed you.